This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. Welcome, friend, to our weekly garden party. We hope you brought along your questions, because it's time to dish the dirt. On The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And a good morning, one and all. Here we are, broadcasting from the Zoomerplex in Liberty Village under cloudy skies, Charlie. And a big welcome to you, all set. You're all set to do some shout-outs.
Well, you know, you trained me.
I did.
I learned everything about radio from you.
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe not everything, but I learned a lot. I have and continue to learn a lot from you about radio. How'd that end up in my pile?
Oh.
Okay.
She's editing as she speaks. Okay.
Yes, I am. I'm finding all these little pieces of paper, but I do have the important ones.
Okay.
All right. So, well, do you want to give the numbers or anything before?
Oh, sure, I'll do that.
I'm not that I'm trying to, you know, tell you how to do your job.
Of course not. Of course not.
Just a suggestion.
You never do that.
No.
Phone number for Toronto area, 416-360-0740. And then anywhere else in the province, toll free, 1-866-744-7740. Call early, call often. One question per call. And if you happen to be a first-time caller, please let Sebastian know, our tech operator there, and he will mark you down for a ring the bell. You'll be welcome to get your wings like that.
Garden wings, because
yes,
this is the Garden
indeed.
Show.
Absolutely.
And we do love to talk about gardening, even though it's gray and wet and, you know.
And folks are thinking about Christmas right now because the lines are almost bare. So good time to call in.
Exactly. If you feel like you have to wait in line, be the first.
Exactly. Now, what do you got for us?
Well, you and I are going to have to talk about our amaryllis at some point because both of us are growing those.
Right.
But I just wanted to start. It's a pretty special day for me, my family. I want to send out big happy birthday greetings. Today is my daughter's 27th birthday.
Oh, Sydney.
Yes, indeed. And her cousin Chloe has her 30th birthday tomorrow. And my dad has his 89th birthday next Wednesday.
And last week.
Last Wednesday was a very special day marked when my parents celebrated their 65th, if you can imagine, wedding anniversary.
That's fabulous.
So I always say to my mom, 65 years of marital bliss, right, Mom? And then she just starts to laugh, you know, uncontrollably. So that gets her going. November is a busy month in our family when it comes to all those birthdays and celebrations.
Can I do a quick shout out now?
Okay.
Just one, but it's important.
Is it the dry cleaners again?
No, it is not the dry cleaners.
Oh, okay.
No. My girlfriend, Shirley, her daughter from Whistler, has been visiting since Thursday, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And she's heading home today. Lauren,
yes.
Delightful young lady. She'll love that part, too.
Had you met her before?
No.
Nice.
It was the first meeting, and she was sizing me up and down pretty good there.
I bet, but you've met her daughter. It's her
daughter
son's
in,
daughter.
In Toronto. She has two daughters and a son.
Sorry, no, I met Lauren's daughter. But does Lauren has two daughters and a son? No. Shirley's got two daughters and a son.
That's right.
But remember, there was
confusing me now.
Sorry, but there was a grandchild that came to visit, a granddaughter, Shirley's granddaughter.
Carly.
But that's not Lauren's daughter.
No.
That's her son's daughter.
That's right.
Sorry, didn't mean to get confused there.
The whole family is...
I'm getting to know Shirley's family really well. Aren't we all?
Yes. Back to the garden show,
Speaking of the garden show, I just want to do one more, you know, hello, big shout out to all my students at Durham College. Of course, I teach horticulture there.
Mm-hmm.
Two different groups of students. One is a second-year class. We study greenhouse management and structures. And I have a first-year class where we teach horticultural principles. I have made listening to the radio show part of their routine, and I hope everybody's listening right now because I just want to say hello and recognize that we're almost finished our fall semester and just wanted to let everybody know that I've really appreciated their enthusiasm. As students, they're enthusiastic to learn. They've been very attentive to all the information that we've been sharing, you know, mm-hmm. in our classes and in our labs, and the fact that they get up so early in the morning to join the class, even 8 a.m.
It often intrigues me for teachers such as yourself. Do you have to deal with students who bring their cell phones in and leave them on and are working on the cell phone, talking
yes,
to people,
yes.
et cetera?
Yes, cell phones are part of everybody's life.
Yeah.
I actually forgot my phone one day a couple of weeks ago, and I felt naked without it. So I understand the need for phones. But no, the phones are out.
They're pretty good, are they?
They're typically on silent, but yeah, it happens. You know, they could be playing solitaire for all I know. They've got either laptops or cell phones usually in front of their faces. It's all about screens, right?
Yeah. Yep.
But that's the way it goes. As is my wont, get ready for the holiday season this Thursday, December the 1st. So this coming Thursday, the Toronto Botanical Gardens is opening all their doors to the entire world from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. There will be over 20 artisans and the farmers market vendors.
Mm.
There's a cafe and a coffee bar featuring farm fresh sweets and savory light bites, complimentary cider, and a gently used gardening book sale.
Yep.
So definitely, you know, pick up wonderful presents, garden-themed presents, great food. Please bring a non-perishable food item to donate to the North York Food Bank, because that's the other trend we have going on now is the food bank events. Of course, TBG is located at 777 Lawrence Avenue East at Leslie.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that going to do
That'll
for
do
now?
For now.
All right. Anything else we'll squeeze in along the way as we progress along on this Saturday morning from Zoomer Radio, The Garden Show. And Charlie and I shall return in moments.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
All righty, Charlie, let's meet the listeners this morning. And from St. Catharines, we say hi to Shelley. Hi, Shelley. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Charlie, I have two burning bushes that aren't burning.
Oh, that's an outrage.
They're on the yellow side.
Oh.
And there is some pinky red on them. But they're not the gorgeous, burning, bright reds that they have been in the past. And I'm wondering, is it because of the summer?
Might be. So they're fairly old shrubs?
Well, they're not that big, actually. They're not, I wouldn't say, no, they're not old. They're maybe 3 years old, 4 at the most.
Yeah, that's not very old. Okay, so you planted them. And how many hours of sunlight do they receive?
I lost my front yard because it got burnt out. So they were out there in that full sun all summer.
Did they get water at all?
Yes, I watered them.
Okay, so...
I'm wondering if I didn't water them enough.
Well, that's the thing. When it comes to shrubs or trees, you know, long-term plants like shrubs and trees, we want to water them rarely but deeply. So typically, just a trickle of water for a couple of hours is what you want to put around the drip line of plants like shrubs and trees when we experience the kind of drought we did this summer. So
would one of those hoses that, you know, what do they call them, a soaker hose?
Soaker hoses, yep, they're excellent. You can twine. Are the shrubs together like in a garden bed somewhere?
They're separated.
Okay, and do they kind of stand alone or are there other plants around them?
One stands alone, and the other one has other, sedum and that around it.
Okay. How'd the sedum hold up?
Sedum's good.
Good. Yeah, I was going to say, probably fine, because they're very good in super drought conditions. So,
but I've noticed the sedum also isn't that beautiful, like, brighter red that it normally is.
How about your soil? Have you done any amending to the soil over the years, adding, say, composted manure or anything like that?
Well, actually, it's all new soil from last year. There was compost and everything in that put in there. But that's why I wondered if it was more summer-related from that drought we had.
Likely. And I would keep in mind that a good growing soil is a very fertile soil and typically has quite a good proportion of organic material in it. So... again, a good quality, healthy soil is a living soil. So there's lots of little microorganisms doing their job of breaking up all that organic material, releasing nutrients to your plants.
Well, that's what I had put down in for the plants for where they are.
Yeah.
So, I also put mulch, a cedar mulch on top.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, did the cedar mulch maybe not help, but hinder.
Well, okay, so a couple of things. So one is next year, consider do like always once a year, half an inch of organic material into the gardens to help support the plants that are in there. The mulch brings up another point, and that is, one, it helps to reduce some of the evaporation of moisture out of the soil.
Right.
But cedar, by virtue of being cedar, when it's really, really dry, it almost has like a shell on its surface because it's got all these oils. And the oil, once the oily little bits get together, all the chips, and when you put out a sprinkler, sprinklers tend to be the water rolls off the mulch down into the lawn or the sidewalk or wherever. So sometimes it's hard to penetrate under the mulch with, particularly a cedar mulch, with water. What I would do if I were you next year is I would do a light cultivating so that the mulch is mixed into the soil, the mulch that's there now. Then I would add a half an inch of organic, like some, say, composted manure to the gardens. Then I would lay soaker hoses on top of that. Then I would put mulch on top of the soaker hoses.
Ah.
Right?
Oh, so you've got bury the soaker hoses.
Exactly. And you know what? You can leave them out. I leave my soaker hoses year-round under the mulch. It's out there. I don't worry about it. I use a little click-on system so that I just haul my hose, click, you know, none of this twisting, turning, just click it on, turn on the hose, set the timer, 3 hours later, turn off the hose. And the water is going down where I need it, down at root level, and it's below the mulch and it's not evaporating out into the air.
Wow, that's
a wonderful idea. So would this have to be done every year?
The mulch?
Every 2 years.
So the mulch and the organic? Well, you could probably get away with it every 2 years to, you know, 2 to 4 inches of mulch on top of the soaker hoses 2 years later is pretty decomposed. So
right.
At that point, yes, you're going to do another mix, another add, and a fresh mulch on top.
Oh, wonderful. You are such a wealth of information. Thank you so much.
My very much pleasure.
Now, don't get her head to explode now. Gee, I have enough trouble with it.
Oh, Frank.
Yeah, all right.
Stop being so jealous.
That, good question. And
long answer. Sorry,
that's great, Shelley. Thank you.
But it is frustrating when burning bushes don't burn. It's usually lack of light. Mm. But it was such a hard summer for many of our plants. It's likely that's exactly what the problem is.
Well, you know, here's a first-time caller for everybody. Wait a minute. Hey, that's for Denise in St. Catharines.
St. Catharines is awake this morning.
Good morning, Denise. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you. Good morning, Charlie and Frank. I have a question, Charlie, about a poinsettia plant which won't turn red.
Okay.
Now, I went on the net, and the three plants I bought last Christmas I put out on the deck in the back, and they're beautiful and green and about 3 feet high.
Okay.
I read on the net that if I put them in a really dark place from the middle of October, water them minimally, that they should turn red by the middle of December.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I watered them a week and a half ago, real quick, you know, peeked in underneath all the dark covers in the closet, and about a third of the leaves are turning white and falling off, and the rest of them are still quite green. What am I doing wrong?
All right. So there was a little fine point I think you missed when you did your research on the web, and that is that, yes, poinsettias do need that dark period. It's a good 12 hours of total darkness. But on the other side, they need 12 hours of light.
Oh, so it's not total darkness 24?
No. Total darkness 24 hours a day is causing them extreme stress, and that's why they're turning white. Because the chlorophyll, which is what makes the green leaves, is not photosynthesizing, so it's dying and it disappearing out of the leaves, and of course the leaves are falling off.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, it sounds like you've done a fancy covering job for them.
Oh, I covered up real good,
which is great. But could you modify that so that you can uncover for 12 hours and cover for 12?
Okay, so they only get covered at night then.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll tell you how this really works in nature, because this is a very totally natural process. Poinsettias originally were found and grew in Mexico. And in Mexico, at the time when they were discovered by the Europeans, of course, there was no electric lights at night. So when the sun went down at 6 p.m. at night, it was pitch black. And when the sun came up at 6 a.m., it was a bright, sunny day. And poinsettias grow into trees in Mexico. I mean, they're big shade trees. Mm-hmm. And, of course, at this time of year, they've had that lovely 12 hours of light and 12 hours of dark very naturally and normally since mid-October. So they are bright red for Christmas. And what we do here, of course, since and even in Mexico now, they probably these trees don't turn quite so red anymore unless they're far away from civilization, because it's all our electric lights that mess things up, right? That keep things light when we it should be dark for the plants. So the growers here in the greenhouses, they actually cover them, have black shade cloth that they cover the poinsettias for 12 hours. So they're 12 hours light, 12 hours dark, starting, as you pointed out, in mid-October.
So am I too late now if I start giving them some daylight?
No, I would try start the process now. Just, you know, you're 6 weeks behind, but that's okay. You're going to start to get some reddening happening because they have responded to some of that dark. Your trick is to get them some, you know, keep them as happy and healthy in terms of getting some light.
Do I fertilize them?
Not at this point. What I would do is just make sure that when they're watered, they're thoroughly watered and then allowed to dry out almost bone dry. You want them a little bit moist and then some more water. And just, keep them. You might have to do a little bit of pruning if they've lost like tips and things. But if the tip leaves are still there, leave those alone because they will turn red if you can just get that dark light thing started now.
Okay, I'll get on it. And thank you for your help.
And let us know how that turns out. I want an update.
Full report.
Okay, I'll let you know. And thanks a lot.
Thank you, Denise.
Don't be a stranger.
First time caller, no more. Right. Okay, 9:24 on the show, and we're going to be coming back to speak with another first time caller.
Daffodils and daisies, bluebells and begonias, forsythia and foxgloves, marigolds, magnolia, lavender and lupins, dahlias, delphiniums, stocks, fox, hollyhocks, tulips and sweet williams.
You've picked the right place for everything floral. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin, exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And at 9:29, let me just emphasize here, we're looking for more calls, to be very honest.
Well, otherwise you're going to have to listen to Frank and I chitter-chatter.
Yeah, and there's no fun in that.
I was going to say, it might be scary.
416-360-0740 if you're in the Toronto area. Anywhere else in the province, it's toll-free, 1-866-740-4740. And as is our wont, we like to welcome the new listeners, new callers, by ringing the bell. And here's one. Yes, siree, Bob. That's
welcome to
Joel,
the show.
Right here in Toronto. Hi, Joel.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
Morning. I really enjoy your show. Thanks for taking my call.
Excellent. What's going on?
Well, I rescued a hibiscus plant
nice.
From the curbside. It's about 4 feet tall. Mm. Somebody just threw it out to the curb, and I rescued it from the jaws of the Toronto pickup people.
Good for you.
And how long? This in, which immediately followed by a bunch of leaf drop. I had to beat my leaf blower in the living room practically.
Anything
leaf on it just practically dropped to the ground immediately.
When did you do this rescue?
A month ago.
Oh, okay. So what hadn't been frosted?
I just want to know, it's got some green leaves at the bottom, the first foot. It's about 4 feet tall. Mm. And now it's 4 feet of dead branches looking like, but what do we do with this thing for the winter?
So is it a single stem?
No, it's multiple stems. Okay. It's got about 8 stems at least,
so
maybe more.
Like a bush.
Yes.
And so it's about 4 feet tall, and you've got green at the bottom, but looks pretty dead at the top.
Well, the leaves are gone.
I wonder if it did get a light frost to have the tips die like that. So what you need to do, have you got it in a really sunny location?
Yes.
Excellent. And do you have a pair of sharp pruners?
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to get out your sharp pruners,
okay,
and you are going to prune back all the dead wood, which is what all those tips are. Those branches sound dead.
Right.
But you're going to follow down each branch till you find a green bud or a little miniature green leaf that is growing to the outside of the plant. So it'll be located on the outside edge, if you will, or of the branch.
Okay.
You're going to do a slanted cut at that point. You're going to throw, compost what you take down.
Yeah, I've done that already, the leaves anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And then get out your leaf blower and pick up whatever other leaves are kicking around. And make sure that there is no leaves on the surface of the soil because, of course, they're going to get all mildewy and moldy and not help matters.
Okay.
And then check the quality of the soil. Are you seeing roots or is soil look pretty good? Or?
Yeah, it looks pretty good. I mean, it's probably this like a new tree, I would think, this season.
Okay, good.
Must have been put outside probably for the summer and then brought,
Well, probably what happened is suppose outside, and whoever owned it had no opportunity to take it inside. They had no place to put it. Yeah, they're big plants. Exactly. And no, but it was sweet of you to rescue it because, I mean, why not? It's a, they're great plants.
I call them Objet Trouvé for my family. I'm well aware of. I have a reputation of, you know, finding things of this sort.
Garbage picker, are you?
Oh, I've got a nice, the Boston fern, same thing.
Oh, nice. Hey. Very good. Very good.
Yeah, I've been going for 5 years, so I mean, this is what, you know.
Yeah.
Good for you.
I've done that myself, rescued a few plants, and then,
absolutely,
you know, they kind of take over your house, and then you're putting them on the end of your driveway, hoping somebody will rescue them. No, so do what you're doing. Keep that sunshine, sunny spot. Water when dry. Of course, remember, with so few leaves, this plant's not going to use a lot of water.
Any fertilizer?
Not now. Wait until the days start to get longer. So you've got to wait till, you know, remember, December 22nd is our favorite day of the year because we're getting into longer days. Okay. But to really have any impact, it's generally February by the time, you know, even mid-February, by the time we mix up, you know, an all-purpose, a Miracle-Gro, whatever, into our watering. And then water thoroughly with that. But just be really careful. It's easy to overwater in the winter. The plant is not growing a lot, and with so few leaves, of course, it's not using a lot of water either.
Now, all the flowers come in the tips, so they had buds, they all gone.
That's right. So
will these grow new tips?
That's exactly what, when you cut off all that dead stuff, what's going to shoot out is new growth. And those will be your new tips, and that's where your buds will form. So that's why when you're doing your cutting back, stand back and make sure that the plant looks good structurally when you're done.
Yes.
It's even and an attractive looking plant, and cut as required.
Fantastic.
All right.
Okay. Let you know how it works out.
Please
appreciate that. I love updates.
Thanks, Joel.
Don't be a stranger.
All righty. Gee whiz, 9:33, and out in Scarborough, there is Wanda on the line. Good morning, Wanda.
Oh, good morning, Charlie and Frank.
Good morning.
Happy to get through so early.
Nice.
I took in my rosemary plant. Mm-hmm. And it was doing well. There was one darker stem and one with newer growth, I guess, this year. Mm-hmm. Now, the one with the darker stem seems to be drying. Mm-hmm. And the other one is still quite green.
Mm-hmm. Rosemary, I find, is a little hard or tough to keep happy indoors.
Uh-huh.
Do you have it in a bright spot, a sunny spot?
Well, no, it's in a north bay window, so it gets a little morning sun and a little sun late in the afternoon.
Okay. Well, what I would do, because rosemary, you want to keep it on the dry side because they are a plant that's very, very good for, it's a very drought-tolerant plant.
I see.
It likes a hot, sunny spot if you had, but, you know, obviously a bay window is great. What I would do is be careful about watering it. You want to let it really dry out between waterings.
And I've been watering almost every day.
Oh, yeah, no, don't water every day. Stop with the water every day. So you're going to feel the soil before you water again, and you're going to want it to feel quite dry before you water again.
Good.
But what I would do is, since rosemary likes a fairly dry soil, it also likes more humidity than our homes have at this time of year. You know, with the heat on and the furnace blowing all that dry air, tropical plants and plants like rosemary don't like that. If you can, put together what's called a pebble tray. So it's just, you know, it could be like a cookie sheet or any kind of a tray with gravel in the bottom. The rosemary plant sits on top of the gravel, but you keep water in that tray at all times. That way the plant is not in the water, but the water is constantly evaporating around the plant.
Does the tray have to be very large?
No, just bigger than the pot.
Bigger than the pot.
Yeah, bigger than the pot, preferably bigger than the drip line of the plant.
Right.
So if the plant is, you know, it's 8 inches wide, you need about a 12 by 12 tray, right?
Oh.
And, and that just helps with the humidity. Slow down on your watering. If necessary, you are going to have to cut out any dead wood, but that will become more obvious as time goes on. And, yeah, if it is dead and crispy and dry, cut it out. But, of course, save. You can certainly use what it has dried on the plant when next time you're making some chicken.
And, you know, Wanda, I found an interesting article on rosemary online
where
it stated that a 15% increase in your memory by using rosemary.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So that's what they advocate, is to try some rosemary.
Listen to you, Mr. Nutrient Healthcare.
Yes, indeed. Are you kidding? You don't get a fabulous physique such as I.
I getcha.
Well,
but
yeah.
I love the way you remembered that. So you've obviously been taking your rosemary and your breakfast cereal.
Well, not quite. Okay. I'm going to. Just thought I'd throw that in, you know,
thanks,
whatever
that,
it's worth.
All right. Yep. Good luck with that, rosemary.
Thank you very much. And let's see. Oh, yeah, we got time here. Oh, goody. Goody, says Frank. It's another first-time caller. Wait a minute.
Oh,
that's for you, Glenn, out there in Ajax.
Glennis.
Welcome to the show. Oh, Glennis. I beg your pardon. Hello, Glennis.
Yes, good morning, Frank. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
I have, 3 years ago, went to the Canada Blooms, bought a plumera plant. It was just a stick, a stem. Planted it, followed the instructions. It's done well. It's grown. You know, replanted it into a bigger pot. But now, within the last 2 or 3 months, it's got a lot of white dots on all the leaves, and the leaves are dropping.
White dots on the top surface or the under?
On the top surface. The leaves are dropping.
Yeah, but I'm just wondering where the dots are. So
they're all over. All over the leaf.
Okay, so when you see white, okay, so the white dots, if you rubbed your finger on the leaf, would that white dot rub off? Have you tried?
I'm doing that now.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so now, see, when there's an insect, well, it's not even an insect, it's actually a spider called spider mites. Spider mites, though it's unusual to have it so early in the season, they are an insect that, again, they're not really an insect, they're a spider, that suck juice from plants. And when a plant is infested with spider mite, it gets a granular look to the leaves. So the green leaves get these speckles. No, it's still smooth and green, but it's speckled with white. But the spider mites are not on the top. They're on the bottom. Mm-hmm. And they're sucking from below, and they're killing cells within the leaves. And the dead cells, of course, end up looking white. So it's just a very distinctive look. What I would do is look, get the plant. Is it in the window? Like, do you have it
it's
in a bright?
In the window.
Perfect. So get down so that the window, the plant is between you and the window. And look in the axles or the crotches where the stems and the leaves come together.
Right.
And look for webbing. You'll never see spider mites, but you will see evidence of them because you'll see their webs.
Okay.
If you suspect and you do see any webbing whatsoever, then that's what I would suspect, spider mite. And then you need to get a hold of a product called End All. And I believe it's still out there under the name End All. It is an oil-based pyrethrin spray that will kill spider mite if used properly, if that's what you've got.
I'm wondering if, when you're inspecting the plant, if you spritzed a little water on that possible webbing, would that help them show up, you know?
True, good point. Yep, just like dew shows up on a spider web. Mm. Yeah, so I mean, so look closely for webbing. If you don't see any evidence of webbing, look at the back of the leaves, see if there's anything odd going on there. Also, another option would be to take a picture, a nice clear picture, and email that to me. I might be able to help you that way. But yeah, white dots, if they're not moving, is not typically an insect other than, I suspect spider mite.
Okay.
All right. So Frank will give you my email address if that helps. If you want to go the photograph route and you
I'd
could...
I'd love to have a flower.
I bet.
I bet you. Okay. Have you got a piece of paper and pencil handy by any chance?
Yes, I do.
All righty. Here is the email address for Charlie Dobbin. It is c.dobbin, that's D-O-B-B-I-N, at mzmedia.com. Pretty simple, really, and Charlie would be delighted to take a look at whatever you send her, okay?
Right.
And thank you very much. Thank you very much for checking us out here on The Garden Show from Zoomer Radio. Matter of fact, there's a guy in Toronto here by the name of Harry who has bought a new tree, and he needs some help, I think, in how to keep that tree going. We'll get to that in just moments here on Zoomer Radio, The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin.
Don't change stations just because the weather changes. Garden tips and advice all year round. This is The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
Coming up to 9:44 here on a Saturday morning. And Harry, did I sum up the situation pretty well there? You got a brand new tree?
Yeah, pretty good.
Okay.
Morning, Harry.
Good morning, Charlie and Frank. It's a great show. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The tree out in front of our house is actually a city tree. Mm-hmm. The one that was there before was supposed to have died within 15 years. Mm-hmm. We've nurtured it on for another 10 years beyond that. But the city finally cut it down. They put a new, and this is a sugar maple.
Mm-hmm.
They put a new sapling in, which is about 6 feet tall. Should we help it along by covering either the base or the with burlap or anything, or the top for this?
No.
For this startup?
No, no, no. But are you sure it's a sugar maple?
That's what the sign says on it, yes.
Really? I'm amazed. And you live in the city?
Yes. It was a sugar maple before, and we requested having another sugar maple put in.
All right. Yeah, so I mean, sugar maples are native trees. They're lovely trees, which is why you do not have to do any fancy winter care. This is a plant that has well evolved to Ontario's climate, and it should be just fine without any supplemental care. The reason I'm questioning sugar maple is because it is a very large tree in its beautiful grandeur.
We live on a boulevard street, and it's a very wide street. And actually, you know, the trees that are around us are huge. I think the diameter is about 4 feet, 5 feet.
Exactly. So these were planted 50, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's great. I mean, that's the thing. Sugar maples want to be, you know, like 100 feet tall and 60 feet wide if they can get there. Urban conditions aren't always the best for sugar maples to achieve, hugeness. But, you know, they are long-lived trees. So, you know, excellent. You've had good experience, obviously, with the first one. So that's why you've obviously chosen another one. And that's fine. Just leave it as it is. We've had lots of moisture this fall, so there's no panic around it being too dry for the winter. And then it's just a matter of watching in the spring so that if a lot of salt buildup has taken place on the boulevard where it's planted and we don't get a lot of rain, it would be a good idea to get some water out around this tree to neutralize any salt buildup that might have happened if we get a lot of snow. And otherwise, it's just, keeping an eye on it. Any dead wood should be removed in the spring because the city won't come and do that. So you're going to look for anything dead. You're going to look for any branches that are crisscrossing, damaging each other because sometimes the growth isn't in the right direction. So a little bit of, you know, it's only 6 feet tall. It's a good size for you to care for it still. Just look for any dead wood, any diseased or any damaged wood next spring and prune back. It doesn't have to prune in the spring. You could wait till late spring or early summer and do any cleaning up. And otherwise, if we get into another drought summer, remember water deeply every 10 days or 2 weeks if we get into a serious drought. That's all I can really say, and it should do fine. So good for you.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Good stuff, Harry.
Thanks for calling, and thanks for looking after a city tree, because that is a homeowner's responsibility, I believe, and I'm with you 100%. I do the same thing. I look after my city tree, and I get my neighbors to, too.
You have been fully accredited as a nice guy.
Oh, nice for that. Hey, speaking of trees, though, remember last week?
Homework? Yes.
Last week, Chris called, wanted to know if there was any good suggestion for a good book regarding trees, and we did get some support and a call from one of our listeners who said there is that wonderful book called Native Trees of Canada, which is written by R.C. Hosey, H-O-S-I-E, and that is an excellent book. I do have that at home. It is only native trees, but, you know, as an example, that sugar maple is well covered in that book. The other book that's extremely popular, it's considered the Bible of the tree world, is written by an author named Michael Durr, D-I-R-R. So he first wrote a book called The Manual of Woody Landscape Plants, Their Identification, Ornamental Characteristics, Culture, Propagation, and Uses. So that has been revised a number of times, and I was showing Frank here on Amazon. Mm. If you just Google Michael Durr, D-I-R-R, and then go to his plant books, you'll see this book, Manual of Woody Landscape Plants. So in hardcover, and hardcover was most recently revised in 2009, it is a $300 purchase.
Yeah, but it's the Bible.
It's the Bible, absolutely. Well, but you can also get used. See, through Amazon, you don't have to always buy new. There's often used books. In soft cover, it's only $73, but it was last revised in 1990. So it is you know, quite a bit older.
Sounds like a marvelous Christmas gift for somebody, huh?
Well, you know what's a really good book also by Michael Durr? It's called The Illustrated Encyclopedia of Trees. It is glossy. It has excellent photographs. And that was the one I mentioned last week. Last revised in 1997. Again, it's a... Used, you can get it quite inexpensive, and then, of course, the price goes up to new. But, yeah, Michael Durr is the guy to go to for for the Bible on trees.
Some excellent suggestions from Charlie.
For
matter
Chris.
Of fact, we've got two callers who are first-time callers, Pamela and Norma, waiting online, and we shall get to you momentarily. Don't go away, okay? We just have to take a little bit of a break here. I was just thinking about, you know, the number of full-time or first-time callers we get on the show, and might be that some folks are turning to the station for the first time.
Maybe.
And they're hearing us talk about Sierra
Sil. And they're meeting us for the first time. Wow.
Yeah.
What an experience.
I tell you. Yeah. So, but maybe just to jump back a little bit in time to the beginning of the Sierra Sil company, the healing quality of Sierra Sil was discovered by a gold prospector in the Sierras, the mountains,
yes.
right? And then developed under the stewardship of the Bentley family.
Yes.
And it's a pure natural mineral complex, had its origin in volcanic rock that was geothermically altered about 10 million years ago. Now, this unique mineralogy can't be recreated in a lab. Sierra Sil has been rigorously tested, including double-blind, placebo-controlled trials for safety and efficacy.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter of fact, it's now being tried again for a two-year
intestinal.
Study for intestinal benefits.
Right, exactly.
Because a lot of people have noted, hey, their tummies are getting better.
Yeah, exactly. So, so you and I use it to keep our joints working and working well and pain-free so that we can live the active lifestyles we want to live and rake those leaves and shovel that snow.
In
some cases, both at the same time, like I was doing last week. So, Sierra Sil works for us. We highly recommend it. If it doesn't work for you, you have a 14-day full money-back guarantee. If you're not feeling any better after 14 days of taking Sierra Sil. More information, give them a call, 1-877-JOINT-14, or check them on the web, sierrasil.com.
SIERRASIL.
At this very moment, someone snorkeling inches below the ocean surface while flying fish skim the waves above. And at this very moment, it could be you.
Bougainvillea Beach Resort in Barbados. Discover this oceanfront hotel with two pristine white sand beaches, upscale accommodations, and the warmth of the staff. Escape from the norm to Bougainvillea Beach Resort. Call your travel agent or 1-888-BARBADOS.
At StokeSeeds.com, seed isn't all you get. Part of helping your vegetables and flowers grow is removing the guesswork and replacing it with over a century of Stokes experience. StokeSeeds.com is a resource center for gardeners with advice on seed starting, planting, and harvesting. That plus thousands of varieties of the highest quality seed shipped to your door. Pre-order your free 2017 gardening guide today from StokeSeeds.com. Cultivate successful growers for generations.
Fur and feathers and bugs of all size. There's more going on in the garden than you realize. Should small creatures become a big problem, then you've got The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Exclusively on Zoomer Radio.
And Charlie, of course, battling a little bit of a cold.
Sorry
there.
About
that's okay. Pamela in Thornhill. Now, wait a minute. Here we go.
Oh, your arm's getting a workout today.
I know it is. Hey, welcome to the show, Pamela.
Hi, Charlie and Frank. I've been a long-time listener and a first-time caller.
Yes, indeed. Welcome.
I enjoy your show. It's excellent. The information is great.
Thank you.
My problem is that I have an area in my garden which has filtered light, not very good sunlight.
Mm-hmm.
The soil is acidic because of the needles that fall from the blue spruce tree.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to grow plants in that area and have not had any luck. I would like to know what perennials and annuals I could grow for next year so that area in the garden looks great.
Yeah, it looks filled in. Now, so is this beneath the blue spruce? Like, have you removed the lower limbs of the blue spruce?
Yes, I have removed the lower limbs, but, you know, the tree has grown to over 6 feet.
And it's just going to get bigger.
Right. What can I do? Like, I'm a bit scared that it may fall.
Oh, why?
If there's a wind or a snowstorm or something of that sort,
are
they hardy?
Oh, very. Yeah. How tall is it roughly?
It's roughly must be about 10 feet, I think.
Oh, if it's, you know, in reasonably good soil, you know, it's planted well and it looks straight and strong now, I wouldn't be at all worried about it falling over.
But it was not planted right. The stem of the tree is a little bit crooked.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So when it went in, it got a bit of a lean?
It got a bit of a lean,
but yeah. Do you notice that the top of it is growing straight now, or is the whole thing still got the lean going on?
It's growing straight.
Yeah, because if the stem ends up with a tiny bit of a lean because of wind or shifting after it's been planted, the terminal bud or the very top of the plant will respond to gravity, and it will typically always go straight. So I wouldn't be overly concerned about that. But so things that can grow beneath a blue spruce, how high up is the limbing been done? Like how big is that area? Can you walk in underneath there? No.
Yes.
Oh, you can.
I have to bend a little bit.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, you're right, it's quite acidic because of all the needles.
I constantly try to sweep it and take it out, but it's a big job, right?
Yes, it is. So, you know what? What you need to do is you need to think about what grows in acid soil that looks good year-round and is, like you say, filtered light.
Right.
There are very hardy plants called azaleas. They are hardy azaleas, so A-Z-A-L-E-A. They're deciduous plants. They drop their leaves for the winter, but they bloom beautifully in the spring. They like, you know, half a day sun minimum, but it's amazing how well they'll do in filtered light. I have a couple in my backyard that are right underneath crabapple trees, and they do very well in that situation. So again, filtered light, not a lot of direct sunlight for sure, and beautiful blooms in the spring and nice leaves the rest of the time. Of course, rhododendrons in general love acidic soil. There's some super hardy ones in the PJ. P as in Paul, J as in John, M as in Michael, PJM. There's a whole series of rhododendrons. They're dwarf. They're evergreen. They're, again, super hardy, bloom beautifully in the spring, love the acid soil, would handle those conditions quite well by the sounds of it. So those are long-term woody plants. Perennials, there are a few. I mean, hostas will grow just about anywhere. So you could probably get some hostas established
in
there.
I've tried planting hostas, but they don't seem to be picking up well.
Yep. Okay, so a little bit of lime, horticultural lime, sprinkled into the soil when planting will help with that. The other thing would be just a simple ground cover, like periwinkle. Periwinkle does very well in filtered light, acid soil, evergreen, you know, periwinkle blue flowers in the spring, and just shiny green leaves the rest of the year.
Right.
So, there are quite a few choices. So take a look out there in the spring and go to a good garden center where you could get some good advice as well.
What about annuals?
Begonias, maybe. Begonias are pretty hardy and will grow just about anywhere, but that would probably be your best bet.
Okay. I'll try growing them.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks for the information.
Thank you, Pamela.
Pleasure. Let us know how that goes.
Want to zip along if we have time here to get to Norma, who is
a
first-time caller.
Out of time.
There you go, Norma.
Another
welcome to the show.
First-timer. Welcome.
Thank you.
What's going on?
Actually, I sent you an email, Charlie. And I don't know if you reply to emails on the email or if you reply on the air.
You know what? Remind me what your email said.
Okay. It was about a violet that is about 18 years old. And when I came upon it, nobody had cared for it, but it was still blooming in the office. And I gave it new soil and I gave it vitamins and so on. So it's now picked up. It's great.
Right,
now there's two places where after the purple flower starts to shrivel, it pops up into a green pea.
Mm-hmm.
Very bright green, light bright green, shiny, and it looks like a pea.
Yeah, seeds. Yeah, it's like a fruit and there's seeds inside, yeah.
So I don't know what to do with those. Can I propagate with those?
You could. It'd be a very slow process, but you certainly could. And if you like, I can help you with that via email just because that's such a detailed question. But I do remember reading your email, and I'm sorry I didn't respond at the time, but the good for you for doing the rejuvenation on that violet, because they are lovely plants, and they'll bloom 12 months out of the year, given the right care and, you know, the right love, et cetera. So when you've got it so happy now that you're even got it providing seeds for potential propagation. Now, remember, growing from seed, you probably aren't going to get the same plant, but you will get renditions of African violets. Who knows what colors you'll get, but why not? It might be some fun. But I will, like I said, I will reply to that via email just because of the details of how to get those seeds growing in a way that will have them thriving in your office.
Okay, Norma, right. thank you very much for the call.
Thanks again for calling and reminding me about that.
And we're just about at a racetrack here. You've got a busy week coming up.
Oh, nonstop. Birthdays, birthdays, birthdays.
There you go.
And then it's Christmas, yeah. Christmas. Yeah. You know, and then it's Hanukkah.
And I have, as well as my show this afternoon from 1 to 3:30, tomorrow night, just a bit of a reminder that I'm pinch hitting for George Junescu on the big band Sunday evening from 7 to 11.
You are versatile.
But you know, George, good news, he's home from the hospital.
Good.
Recovering from that broken hip. And yeah, that's got to be a tough situation, but he's doing well. And he'll be saying hi to everybody tomorrow evening. I'll conference him in just after 7 o'clock.
Excellent.
So there you go.
Like fun. All right. Well, good for you. And good for you for being so incredibly versatile that you can just pop into any show.
I tap dance my way through darn near anything.
Through life. Good for you. Thanks, Frank. Thanks a lot, Sebastian. Thanks to all our great callers. See you again next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of The Garden Show with Charlie Dobbin. Heard every Saturday morning at 9 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.